The Cappuccino Podcast brought to you in association with Tactical Solutions. For all your tactical solutions, check them out at www.tactical.co.nz.
It's that time again, so grab yourself a cup of joe
and get ready for the Cappuccino with Constable Brian.
Okay, so my big pleasure again to welcome, and even though he's going to hate this, he is, NZIHL legend, Justin Daigle from the West Auckland Admirals. He's now also the head coach for the under 20 Ice Blacks as well, which was due to have a tournament in Israel January 2024. But that's not going to go ahead anymore, Justin, or are they moving the tournament somewhere?
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, with the situation in Israel, it's not very safe. So they have rebooked the tournament. Same dates, but it'll be in Bulgaria now. So,
which is good for everybody, I guess, but sad for what's going on there. Before we crack on, we've just had a really exciting, good NZIHL season. Ice hockey in general in New Zealand, how's it looking? Because for me, the spectator, sort of off on the sides here a little bit, it looks like we're getting stronger and stronger every season. There looks like to be some really, really good youth coming through, and that in no small part is thanks to your people like yourself and AJ Spiller putting in some hard yards.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's awesome to see some of the development of the players, the young kids that are now stepping into the NZIHL are incredibly talented, and the skill level is going up. And it's a testament to the work being done by all the coaches in all the regions across the country. And it's just awesome to see that sort of development and growth, and makes for exciting hockey for the fans. So,
and me being the huge Marco fan that I am, you know that I'm going to put most of the credit right at the Marco's feet. But hey, look, it's all good, no problems. All right, let's crack on with our NHL season previews. For those of you that don't know, Justin is a confirmed Calgary Flames man like myself. So this could be a little bit biased, but hey, look, that's the way we roll, so that's all good. So the Hart Trophy, so the most valuable player in the NHL, it goes to who this year, do you think, Justin?
Well, he's flying out the gates here early. Austin Matthews put up back-to-back hat tricks. Yeah, Matthews is emerging as a likely candidate here early on, so we'll see if he can keep his pace up.
All right, because I know that you haven't listened because you've been busy this weekend. David Ayres and I chose Connor McDavid with the Matthews coming in at a lazy second. The Rocket Richard Trophy, which is the leading goal scorer. And for this one, because I'm going to be a little bit nice this year because, look, let's be honest, last year we had yourself, we had AJ, and we had David Ayres and myself. And to be fair, we probably couldn't pick our noses right that season. But so I'm going to give you two chances. The Rocket Richard Trophy, leading goal scorer in the NHL, goes to who?
Austin Matthews.
And there you go. And I chose Connor McDavid, and there's my wild card, David Pastrnak, because he's off to a great start for the Bruins.
Yeah. Pastor's always up there, yep.
Yeah, especially now he's got my man Luch beside him as well. Norris Trophy, yeah. The defenseman who demonstrates throughout the season the greatest all-round ability in his position, and that's normally voted by the Professional Hockey Writers Association. So I'm going to give you two choices on this. Who have you got?
Hard to go past Cale Makar. He's kind of going to forever be in that conversation, I think, the length of his career. And I think he might have a bounce back season, call it a bounce back season, but Miro Heiskanen from Dallas. He's a very talented defenseman. I think he had just a bit of a quiet year last year as far as production, but he's always dangerous. So
we agree on one, but for me, my second pick was Quinn Hughes from the Vancouver Canucks. I think I think they put that C on his shoulder, and I think he hasn't actually realized it's not a big S in the middle of his chest. He seems to be doing some good things. So
yeah, absolutely. It's a good pick.
Yeah. Selke Trophy, a forward who demonstrates the most skill and the defensive component of the game. And again, it's voted on by the Professional Hockey Writers Association. So for those of you that know, most of them come from the East Coast, which causes the people on the West Coast of Canada a huge amount of grief whenever I speak to them privately. Who have you got?
Jeez, Selke. It was always the lock was always Patrice Bergeron, but he's retired this year. Oh, jeez, who would go for the Selke? Defensive forward.
I'll give you mine.
I would
What?
say maybe Michael Backlund might be in the
Oh,
conversation there from the Calgary Flames. So he's a pretty reliable forward defensively. So I'll take Backlund.
I had Eriksson Ek from the Minnesota.
Oh, yep.
But I think you're right. And again, I think, and you'll find this out later on, Michael Backlund, I think now that the contract noise is gone, and again, he's got this ready for this. He's got the sea on in the sea of red. Then, yeah,
Yeah.
I think he's going to grow an extra leg. The Morris Richard Trophy. So that's the top goal scorer. Who have we got?
Top goal scorer. Yeah, I'll go with Matthews.
There you go. Okay. The Vezina. So that's the best goaltender in the competition. I'm going to
Yep.
give you two choices on this. And if one of them isn't Jacob Markstrom, I'm coming right round to see you.
I'll go with Shesterkin,
Ooh, yep.
out of New York there. Markey, I mean, look, as a Flames fan, I hope. I have my reservations, but I hope he's in the conversation. And if not, I would probably have to go with Jake Oettinger with Dallas.
And again, you've agreed with what we've said pretty much. So I had Oettinger as my number one choice. He's the best coach in the league. And I'll give you two choices for this one because this is the tough choice.
I suppose you hope for Ryan Huska with the Flames. First year there, hopefully they have a big bounce back season and he can take a bit of credit for sort of revamping the style of play that they've got. If not, geez, who would I go with? Probably go with the likes of Sheldon Keefe in Toronto because I think Toronto's going to be a wagon this year. I think they're going to be the team to beat if I'm being honest. So I'll go with Sheldon Keefe.
And there have been lots of people saying that since the days of black and white TV. I went for no disrespect to my Toronto fans, friends, I should say. I
Yeah.
went with Ryan Husker and Rod Brind'Amour again, just because he is always there or thereabouts as far as a coach is concerned. But like you say, if Ryan Husker manages to take the Flames through to the playoffs, that's a huge tick in the kudos box there because there aren't too many rookie coaches that do that. What about the Jim Gregory Award, which is the General Manager of the Year? Who have you got for this one?
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, I keep sitting here taking guys from Toronto, but Brad Treliving, I mean, he, in my opinion, did his best to save the Flames when we lost Goodrow and Kachuk, and I think he's, already made some big signings with Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi, and he's trying to add some grit with Ryan Reeves, and I think what he's done with Toronto is going to reap some rewards. So I'll take Brad Treliving.
Okay, do you want a second choice? You're just happy with one.
I guess if I was to take a second one, then it'd be the guy who left Toronto and went to Pittsburgh. So,
Yeah, okay.
So we'll go, yeah.
Now the big one, and this is a bit of a no-brainer for everybody, the call to the trophy. So the rookie of the year, the best newcomer, who have you got for this?
Yeah, I think just an early play and some of the highlights we saw from the game over in Aussie there that was hosted. I think Logan Cooley is probably going to be up there. And I hope he has a good season. But Matt Coronato with the Flames, he's a special player too, and got his first goal there yesterday. So
And what was the reaction to the game in Australia when you went over there and had a look at it? Was there are lots of, because I know that there are lots of diehard ice hockey fans in Australia, but were there lots of punters actually stopping to have a bit of a look at it? Because, I mean,
well.
those two teams are both sort of, I'm going to say, marquee sports brands, aren't they, to be fair?
Yeah, I actually didn't make it across the ditch to go and watch. So I didn't get to see it firsthand, but talked to a lot of families with kids that I coach here in Auckland and said it was just like unbelievable. For a lot of them that was their first first taste of seeing an NHL game live and all that they did around sort of the build up to the games and the parking lot and just the entertainment value that they got from it was everyone seemed to really enjoy it. So would have been awesome if I could have got over there, but just wasn't in the cards. And but sounds like it was awesome. It's cool to have hockey being exposed at that level here close enough to home that people could access it and get to it and have their kids fall deeper in love with the sport. So
Yeah, who knows? Maybe one day we might see him somewhere in Spain. Who knows? That would be
I was gonna say that'd be pretty cool. It'd be pretty cool.
awesome. The President's Trophy, which is awarded to the team that finishes with the most points or the best record. I'll give you two choices. Who have you got for this one?
Well, I guess with the two choices, I'll take one out of the East and one out of the West. Out of the East, I got Toronto, and out of the West, I'm going to say Vegas again.
Okay, I have the Dallas Stars and the Carolina Hurricanes. So, who's the worst team in the NHL this year, in your opinion?
Worst team. Oh, I mean, that's a tough one. I think Arizona's going to struggle a bit still. I think they'll be better than they were, but I think they're going to struggle. And I would say out of the East, probably the Islanders, I think, might struggle.
Okay, so for me, it's the San Jose Sharks. Their coach won 22 out of 82 games last season, so I suspect that he may get the Shepherd's hook fairly quickly. Who's the first coach to be fired in the NHL, do you think?
First coach to be fired. Well, I mean, we already had Mike Babcock, who hadn't even got to coach a
Oh,
game
yeah,
yet,
true, yeah.
and got canned. But so you can't count that one. Yeah, I don't know. You know, Tortorella potentially just in Philly there. I mean, I don't think Philly's gonna have a great season. So I think that, you know, yeah, he could end up in some hot water. We'll have to see. But yeah. Maybe San Jose's coach as well. Just some tough goes here the last few years for him too. So could be on the chopping block too.
Right, now before we get into our conference winners, let's talk the three big teams. Well, two big teams and then you and I's favorite team. The Edmonton Oilers. The clock is ticking for Connor McDavid. It's probably only a matter of time before he starts looking over his shoulder and going, "It's not going to happen for me at Edmonton. Maybe I need to go somewhere else." So, in your opinion, what have the Edmonton Oilers got to do to win this season? When I asked David Ayres, he said he thought it came down to inconsistent goaltending. He said they've got Campbell and Skinner, both of whom are very, very good goalies. He said, but they're not consistent. What do you think the Oilers have got to do to win this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think they need. I totally agree with your buddy Ayers there. Goaltending's been their, in my opinion, their biggest issue the last few years here. Inconsistent. I mean, you look at their opening game of the season, 8-1 loss to Vancouver. Like, you know, that's the soup man himself, kind of just not really ready. But I think they still. I mean, they did a decent job of strengthening up the D core by bringing in Ekholm last year, but I think they could add one more piece to the D puzzle. And I just think they need to get secondary scoring. I mean, it's obvious. Every team knows you just shut down McDavid and Draisaitl, and you kind of neutralize the big threat that they have. So they're going to need some good production from some secondary guys, I think, if they want to go the distance this year. But yeah, hope. I mean, I just like watching good players, and McDavid's obviously one of those generational type players that you don't see very often. So it'd be cool for him to have some success and win. Just guess we'll see if that happens in Edmonton, or if he after the end of the contract tries to go to a contender and make something happen, change it up a little bit. So we'll see.
Yeah, lucky enough to see Connor McDavid in February playing against the Blackhawks, and it was like watching Annie Hay on steroids. That's all I'll say. Just something out of this world, just amazing.
Yeah.
The Calgary Flames, what have we got to do to win? Or at least make it into round two of the playoffs, do you think?
Yeah, I think we're in a good position in terms of our depth. I think we have a really strong third line, and fourth line is going to be, you know, I think we're pretty strong in terms of that fourth, third and fourth line depth. I think Markstrom needs to play well. We know Vladar is capable. I kind of think we might be seeing a move where Vladar kind of gets traded away and Dustin Wolf gets a chance to come up and be the backup. He had a great preseason, and I mean, he's been top goalie in the AHL for 2 years. So I think he's deserving of a chance in the big leagues. But so, yeah, so we need Markstrom to perform. And then we need some of our big guns. You know, Huberto has to have a bounce back season. We need Kadri pulling his weight. And you know, if we can get some injection from guys like Coronado, who are you know, rookies, and Walker Dewar needs to have a big season, and all that depth just needs to come through. And hopefully, you know, I know that there's going to be a bit of a difference in terms of the style of play. We're not going to be winning games 2-1 or 1-0. It's going to be hopefully a little bit more high flying offensive action. Just a matter of keeping that under control, not compromising defense like we did in the third period against Pittsburgh. You know, you still have to play sound defensively and keep things tight. But I think that with Ryan Huska and his staff, they're not going to be like the Daryl Sutter team that we had last year. So hopefully a
And
bounce back.
he's hoping that we don't hear the post tinging, so to
Yeah,
speak,
yeah.
as many times as we heard it last season. Now, the big
Yeah.
question, I guess, for every, like, and you've picked them a couple of times, what have the Toronto Maple Leafs got to do to win? Because, look, let's be honest, they probably, out of all these Canadian teams involved in the NHL, are the team that's under the most pressure. They've got a superstar, they've got a couple of other superstars around them. They've got a brand new GM who is no slouch, as you and I both know. So really the excuses are beginning to, shall we say, dwindle off a little bit. They really have got nothing to say, look, here's our reason why we didn't win. What do you think the Leafs have got to do to win it?
Yeah, I think they've done a great job already of adding a bit of grit to their lineup. You know, you got Max Domi and Tyler Bertuzzi are highly skilled players, but also not afraid to muck it up a little bit and put the body on the line and hold opponents accountable. Ryan Reeves comes in with obviously the heavyweight sort of threat in terms of, you know, the enforcer side of things. I think they still need to strengthen the decor a little bit. Giordano's getting old, so you just got to worry about his wear and tear, and just ability to keep up to the pace. I'm sure he'll be fine, but it's just something to consider. And then I think they, you know, McCabe is good, but I think they still need to add a piece on defense, and then they need Samsonov to perform and play well through the season. So, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's funny because I watch a lot of Toronto games and they find themselves down a couple goals and literally in 5 minutes they can turn that and flip it on its head. So they're just lethal offensively with the likes of Nylander and Marner and Tavares and Matthews, and you know, they got a lot of weapons. So
Yeah.
hopefully they can dig themselves out of any holes they get into with the lack of defense. So
Now you're a coach, so in the back of the Maple Leafs' minds, if they make, let's say, round one or round two, and they start to get three or four games down, in the back of their mind, do you think you get that sneaking suspicion of, here we go again, we're not going to break the curse? Because when I went to Toronto and I spoke to lots of people about the Maple Leafs, it was almost like this, yeah, you know, if we make the playoffs, that'll all be good. But there's almost like this, it's almost like a submission that's like, yeah, if we, you know, maybe we might not go any further than the second round of the playoffs. And it just seemed to be this acceptance of, we'll just see what happens rather than, yeah, we're going to win it this year. Do you think that's an issue for the players there?
I think it's, you know, it's like in any type of sport, you know, the mental side of it is so important. You spend all this time training physically and practicing with your systems and the things you want to be doing on the ice. But I think that, yeah, mentally it's hard when you get to a certain stage in the playoffs and have lost at the same spot, you know, multiple times. I mean, last year they made it into the second round, but didn't even put up a fight against Florida. And so, you know, a little bit maybe surprised to have got that far, but I think that yeah, the mental side of it's huge, and I think that hopefully that's where leadership needs to step up, and your coach needs to steer the ship and try to instill confidence in the team and in the individual players, and try to just stay focused in the short term, not think beyond your sort of next shift, next period, next game, and just take it one step at a time and not get ahead of yourself. But yeah, I mean, it's tough, and so far they haven't been able to do that. So hopefully if they do manage to get to that second round again, then they have a little bit more experience at least making it past the first round, and that can hopefully serve them well.
Yeah, and for those New Zealand listeners who are listening and going, "How bad is it?" Then just imagine what the All Blacks went through yesterday, and pretty much Toronto face that in every single playoff game from every single aspect of Toronto. That would be fair to say, wouldn't it, Justin?
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to give you my choices, and then you can have yours if you want. So the Metropolitan Division winners, I have got the Hurricanes and or the New Jersey Devils. Who have you got there?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be right on par with you. I think the Devils have a good young team. They had a great season last year, so I'd be going either of those two teams as well. Carolina's sort of perennially there at the top, but Devils are right on the doorstep.
Okay, the Atlantic Division. I've got, as you have, the Toronto Maple Leafs, I'm guessing. But for my sort of wild card one, because I don't think people are taking too much attention to this unless you actually live in the city itself, but it's centenary year for the Boston Bruins. And as we all know, Boston hockey fans are rabid about the Bruins. I just think for some reason that they are going to grow an extra leg and play out of their skins for the centenary. I mean, already we've seen Milan Lucic probably give one of his best assists in about the last 3 or 4 years to Pasternak to score a goal. Yeah, those are my two. Who have you got?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably say Toronto is at the top of my list from that division. I personally, I know, centenary and all that with Boston. I just think you lose a guy like Patrice Bergeron, your heart and soul leader. And I know Marchand's gonna step up and do his best to fill that gap. But I just think that's gonna be a bigger blow than we think. I think they lost, Tyler Bertuzzi, who is a monster in the playoffs for them. They lost Taylor Hall, another big weapon. So I think it might be a tougher season than we think for Boston. They do have a winning culture. I'm sure they're still gonna, be in the conversation, but I just think it might be they won't be the dominant Bruins they were last year.
Yep. So for the Central, I've got the Avalanche and the Dallas Stars. I think the Dallas Stars are onto big things purely because of Jake Oettinger. I think he's going to have a huge season this year. That's why you and I both chosen for the Vezina. Who have you got for Central Division?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Colorado, and Dallas would be my two picks coming out of that division.
All right, now our favorite division, the Pacific Division. There's clearly you and I both are given us three choices for this one because
Yeah.
the Flames are always going to be there. But question before I get you to pick your two, do you think the Vegas Golden Knights repeat this season?
Repeat as cup champions?
Yeah.
No, but I think they're going to still have a pretty deep playoff push, I imagine. They didn't lose any major pieces, and now that they've done it, it kind of gives them that mental advantage, like we talked about, where you can have repeated disappointment and that plays into your mindset, and all it takes is sort of getting that whole group that year of experience and winning the cup, and I think that'll serve their players well. So I think they'll be there down the stretch, but I don't think they're going to close it out this year.
All right, so who wins the Pacific Division then? I'll give you two choices. We know that you're going to choose the Flames as your third, so that's fine.
Yeah. So Flames are in there, but I will go with Vegas and Edmonton.
Yep, exactly the same. The Eastern Conference, now that we've kind of knocked out a couple of divisions, the Eastern Conference, who wins the Eastern Conference?
Toronto.
Ooh, okay. So for me, that was the Hurricanes, but that's either. That's good. What about the West?
Yep.
What about the Western Conference?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Colorado or Vegas.
All right, there we go. All right, so the $64 million question, I guess, is who wins the Stanley Cup?
I'm going to be bold and say Toronto.
Ooh, okay. AJ Spiller's going to love you for life.
Yeah,
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
yeah.
that's about right. If I gave you two lazy long shots to win the Stanley Cup, just two teams to keep a lazy eye on to sort of have a look at it and go, these guys may, momentum might push them, like a Florida Panthers, for instance. Who are your two lazy teams to sort of get a bit of a nudge on?
Yeah, I think Buffalo. I think they're going to be dangerous. Like Tage Thompson, and they just signed Owen Power. They got Rasmus Dahlin. They got some veteran players. I think they're kind of maybe call it a wild card. One of those sneak into the eighth seed and somehow have a bit of a Cinderella run, similar to what Florida did. And another dark horse. I'm going to go Pittsburgh Penguins. I think the old boys there are going to be hungry. hungry, and I think they're knowing that the clock is running out, and I think they could be one of those teams that isn't necessarily at the top all year, but they get in, and with their experience and the winning culture that they've had in the past, they can do some damage.
What about if I said to you, name three or four players to keep an eye on this season, the ones that you think are going to go stellar and probably are off the radar, so to speak, at the moment? Not your Connor Bedards, not your Connor McDavids, but just three or four players that you keep an eye on that you go, you know what, I think these guys are going to go the full shizzle.
Yeah, well, so far, I mean, if he keeps up the pace he's on, Brian Rust in Pittsburgh, kind of one of those, I would call him an underrated player. But he's healthy. He had some injury problems last year, and he's bouncing back. So far, so good. Who else would be an off the radar type player? I think Huberto is going to bounce back. I think he's going to have a better season, put up some big points. Well, I mean, we hope. And then, I like watching Tage Thompson. I really do. He's a special player. I don't know that you can call him out of the picture, because he's, yeah. I mean, last year what he did was incredible, but I think there's more to come from him. So he'd be one to watch as well. That's often sort of just on the outside of that Matthews, McDavid, Bedard sort of group. So yeah, he'd be cool to watch.
For me, it's Backlund from the Flames, because again, you know, we've got rid of the contract. We've got the captaincy on our arm. We're there for another couple of years. We're all good. Quinn Hughes, who I've said before, I still think he's going to do some massive things at Vancouver. And I think Vancouver are a real dark horse. They're playing really well as a team. And a lot of young guys who haven't really been tested. And obviously Jake Oettinger as well. Question for you, who makes the NHL cover? And we know that Makar's got it this season, but who makes it next season?
Oh, I just think purely marketing, it's going to be Bedard.
Yeah.
I just think he's, you know, you already see in it. He's everywhere. It's all the talk. And so, especially if he has a good season, puts up some decent rookie numbers. And I guess going back to the rookie of the year, like Logan Cooley, dark horse. I mean, Bedard's still, I think, going to be the top dog in terms of that. But and actually going back to your Jack Adams question with the coach of the year, could be Rick Tocchet out of Vancouver. Like you say, I mean, if they're off to a good start, and if they can keep that going, and Rick in his sort of year and a half, he's only been there. So I think he could end up in the Jack Adams conversation.
Yeah, and just so I think people realize as well, we're not talking, and no disrespect to any of the players, because I know a few of them, super Pacific rugby here. We're talking 82 games of NHL ice hockey before you even make the playoffs. So it's a huge amount of games. And as you well know, playing in the NZIHL, the toll on the body is fairly heavy. I know that you play normally two games in a weekend as well. How's the prep looking for the under-18 team, Justin?
Under 20s, we're
20,
looking
sorry,
good.
Yep.
Yeah, we're kind of getting into the nitty gritty of having to sort of identify our wider squad list, and that'll end up being refined down to our travel and reserve squad. Things are looking good for first year in a long time here. We have a lot of tough decisions to make as a coaching staff. It's both a blessing and a curse. You know, it's tough conversations to have with the players who don't make it. Some really tough decisions ahead as far as who does make that final travel roster. So good problem to have, but a problem nonetheless. So
it's going to be, how do I put this nicely, probably a fairly horrible Christmas for a few of the players as they're getting fit. But hey, look, that is what it is. Now, the question I asked David is, and I'm going to ask you it as well, because you're from Alberta yourself, Calgary, Alberta. When a New Zealander goes to watch an ice hockey game on the television, what's two or three things that they should be looking out for if they've never, ever seen the game before? So Dave's were maybe learn the offside rule and learn about icing, because otherwise you'll sit there and go, why aren't they just standing up by the goalie and firing it through? What are your big things for people who have only just started watching hockey to have a look at?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the obvious ones, like David said, is some of those basic rules. The other one is probably just follow the puck as best you can, because that's where the action's going to be. Hits can't happen unless the player has the puck, so that's where you'll see the big hits. And I just say yeah, just try to keep up with the pace of it all, and just enjoy it. Just watch the entertainment value, how fast the players are moving, and how physical it is, and how hard they work. Like, that's the thing that always blows me away. Even watching preseason games here this year, like, there's it's not like warm-up games. These aren't like, it was not, people weren't taking it easy. I mean, you got hungry kids that are trying to make the team. And you got veteran players there trying to make sure their spots don't get taken. And I was really surprised at the pace in preseason, and obviously that just carried right through to these first few games of the season. And yeah, like you say, I mean, they do that for 82 before they even get a sniff at the playoffs, and then you got to win 16 to get the cup. So it's tough slogging. It's a long season, and yeah, but I would just say, just kick back, relax, and watch it all unfold. It's a pretty fun sport to watch.
Yes, like I said, a lot of my rugby mates go on to just YouTube and type in NHL draft athletic assessments, unless you get ready to be blown away, because those guys are super freaks. They really are. And then once you've finished with the NHL, make sure that you support the NZIHL. That's our local competition. And I've got to do them a bit of a plug, actually, Justin, while we're here. At the present moment, the NZIHL is selling personalized jerseys from your favorite team. So you can get a Marco one, you can get West Auckland Admirals, Red Devils, any of the ones that you want. Are currently on the NZHIL website, I believe, and you can go and get your own name, your own number, the whole lot. There's not many NZHIL jerseys around the world. It's a good thing, I guess, but I tell you what, if you wear one overseas, it's like currency, because people come out of the woodwork and they're like, hey, where are you from? Oh my goodness, I never believed that you played ice hockey in that country. And you can give them the whole deal. Justin Daigle, as always, it's always a pleasure. I will no doubt see you probably on the ice or in the foyer of a Paradise Centre the next game for the NZIHL. I hope to be able to see you and say, we nailed it. The Calgary Flames are in the playoffs. If not, you and I will probably just look at one another and roll our eyes upwards and say, there's always next season. But hey, that's all good. So if you want to follow Justin and what he's getting up to, make sure that you go to the West Auckland Admirals website. You can go and check into the New Zealand Ice Blacks website, which will have updates on the January tournament for Justin's under-20 team in Bulgaria. Are they going to live stream those games, Justin, or not?
Yeah, there'll be a live stream for all those. The IIHF will put out those links and everything, and we will have like a supporters Facebook page as well. So I can get those details to you when they're all sort of finalized, and yeah, people can tune in and watch them play. Won't be a very friendly time change, unfortunately, but yeah, you can still get on and watch them after the fact too. So.
Hey, it always is. It always is a fairly unfriendly time, but hey, no, that's all good. And yeah, no, please forward those links through, because I know that there'll be lots of people interested, especially all those diehard Auckland Marco fans, most of whom hopefully will have a fair few players in that team that you are coaching. So all the best, my friend. I will say take care. See you soon. And as we always say, go Flames, go.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Brian. And
All right.
yeah, go Flames, go.
Thanks for listening. But please do Constable Brian and I a favour and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on the next Coppuccino podcast. Real people, real stories.